I'm fired up that on the finale of The Last Dance, we can welcome in a former world champion with the Chicago Bulls. He is a basketball coach these days, killing it at Southern Connecticut State University. And we actually have something in common because I work with his wife, the great Janae Coakley, over at SNY. So let's welcome in Scott Burrell, the champion with the Chicago Bulls. He's been a star in this documentary. Scotty, appreciate it, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, JJ. I appreciate it.
Scott, far too kind, man. And I'm sure for you, now reliving a lot of these memories, being a part of this like reality show that is the Chicago Bulls, how cool has it been for you to kind of relive, you know, some of these glory days from way back when?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you get to see the great moments and you get to relive something you were in the whole year, but you don't get to appreciate it until you're watching it now. And then you appreciate the championship, but also then you appreciate what you witnessed when you played with Michael Jordan. Now everybody gets a chance to see why Jordan was so great with Rodman and Pippen and the coaching staff.
Scotty, out of curiosity, that final year, how aware were you guys of the cameras? Like, was it getting to a point maybe in like December or February or even in the playoffs where it's like, man, get this stuff out of here. We just want to focus on ball. Because, I mean, the access is great. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it. And I feel like I'm like on the plane with you guys, for goodness sakes. But did that become like a burden in any way?
Not at all. Not at all. You honestly didn't know the cameras were there anymore after the first couple of days. You knew they were going to be embedded with us the whole year. Nobody even noticed the cameras. No one paid attention to the cameras. It was real life, and it was reality. And like you said, but it wasn't anybody acting or faking. It was true emotions, true real life situation.
Scott, you had a great career at UConn. You're in the NBA. You find your way to the Chicago Bulls, and I'm sure you're hearing stories about the greatness of their team, and of course you're playing with the larger-than-life figure that is Michael Jordan. But, like, take me through when you found out you were going to be a Chicago Bull, going into that first practice, going in meeting Phil and Michael and all those guys. What were the nerves like for you?
Oh, it was like being a rookie again. I mean, you're going to a team. You're the new guy going to the team. You knew Pip is out. So you're going to a team that's won 5 out of the last 7 championships, 2 in a row. The first thing is don't mess it up. First is don't hurt Michael Jordan. Secondly is don't mess it up. And third, know your job and do it to the best of your ability, but learn the offense and fit in.
I'm sure you heard stories about his fiery competitiveness. What was like the first moment for you? Maybe it was in a practice. Maybe it was in a game. Who knows? Maybe it was on a golf course for all we know. Well, you're like, holy smokes, man. This guy just wants to win at everything.
You felt in the first practice. I mean, his sprints. Start with stretching, matter of fact. The first practice, and he calls me, he called me by my full name. He said, hey, Scott Burrell, you thought the best part about your trade was you don't have to play me 4 times anymore. But now you got to play against me every day. And that was a reality check right there, that this guy is coming at me every day. He I didn't know him at all yet, and that was probably the first time I met him. And he was going to be on me and push me every day.
Scott, did it ever get to a point where Jordan's, like, tenacity and his will to win became, like, too much? Because, listen, we all want to win. I mean, listen, not to his extent, because that's why he's the greatest to ever do it. Mm-hmm. But, like, did there ever come a point for you where, like, you might have snapped in a practice, you might have snapped in a game where it's like, man, get off my back?
No, it really wasn't that bad. It was just editing does amazing things. He wrote everybody the same, but I was a new guy, so they were going to shape it in a way that it looked like I was getting hammered every day. But, I mean, number one, he pushed me to motivate me. And the thing about it, people always say how tough he was on me, and like people say it was close to bullying. Like, it never got close to getting physical. He pushed me and talked junk like anybody would. Well, kids nowadays don't talk junk because no one says anything to each other. But back in the day, you talk trash to each other, and that's part of basketball. But it just what he did was push me, motivate me to be tougher, to understand what it takes to be a champion. Because, like, if you think about it, people say, yeah, I play with the best. No, you didn't play with the best until you played with him and that team. And you've never been in that situation until you played with the best team ever play and played in a championship. So there's no comparison to anybody could say, because it's until you've done it. And once you've done it, you realize this is nothing like any other team. This is the Chicago Bulls at the highest level of every sport.
Scott, you guys are going through that postseason run, and obviously everybody knows what's going on with the Bulls. The idea of Phil Jackson not coming back, the idea that Michael Jordan may not come back, Scottie Pippen and, you know, putting off the surgery and whatnot. Did you get the sense going into that team that they all kind of knew that it was the last dance? You know, I know Phil gave you guys the memo first day of practice. You know, we saw it in the documentary. But was that like a real thing, or was it one of those elements where it didn't maybe hit home until after you guys beat the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, it didn't really hit home until you beat them, because you figured, how can you break up a team that won 6 out of the last 8, 3 in a row, and all you have to do is bring a couple new pieces there, whether it was me or not, but they could have still kept winning. And the next year was a shortened season. They definitely could have won another championship that year. But you really didn't think if you did win it, it would break up until it was over, and you're like, wow, they're not re-signing anybody, and they're not talking about bringing anyone back. So it was over then. But also, I think when Phil said he's done mentally with this whole thing, you knew he checked out a little bit as soon as the season was over.
We got the great Scott Burrell, member of the Chicago Bulls teams, and he's the star of The Last Dance. I mean, you see him everywhere right now. So it's going to be a great recruiting tool when Scotty's out on the road trying to get players and whatnot. I'm sure, like, the idea of, you know, maybe Hollywood in your future. You never know, Scott. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's the kids. But you got a little Hollywood game to you. I love it. And
no,
Scott, I'm telling you, man. Maybe in another life you'd be acting somewhere. But
Yeah, maybe. But no. I enjoy coaching. But
no, you got a good future there, too. You're not wrong about that. Now, when it comes to the Pacers series and the Jazz series, you guys were tested. What series for you, being a part of it, felt like more of a drain? Was it the idea of going back to Utah and having to play that Game 6, and you guys are right on the verge of playing a Game 7? Or was it the Indiana series? Reggie hits that game winner, I remember, in Game 4. And then you guys are down, if I'm not mistaken, in Game 7 and had to fight back. What do you remember being a tougher series?
The Pacers, no doubt only the Pacers. Because we played the Pacers 11 times that year. And when you play a team 11 times, there's nothing that you do that they don't know you're going to do. And there's nothing they're going to do that we don't know they're going to do. So it's a dogfight of the most talented, the least amount of mistakes. Obviously, at the end of the game, you need defensive stops to get that win. And at the late in the game, we got those stops that propelled us to the victory. But, I mean, that was a dogfight. It was two great teams. That team was big. They were built to beat the Bulls. And it was just a fun atmosphere. And playing in Indiana, that floor was it was rocking. The floor was bouncing. The hair on your arms, it was so loud, the hair on your arms were sticking up. It was electric. And, well, both arenas, it was electric. But playing the Pacers was no doubt only the toughest challenge, I think.
Scott, as a coach, you're a part of this Bulls team. What lesson, if one specifically, maybe it's from Michael, maybe it's from Phil, maybe it's something you just experienced in your playing career, what is the one lesson that you have passed on to your players from your year of being a part of that great team?
You try to pass on how important each day is. How important, if you love what you do, how important is today going to be to you to be the best player you can be? But then here comes a situation where you know they're not going to believe it and not understand it. So when you start pushing and pushing, what's too much? What's your drive? Why is your drive more than theirs? And that's when it comes to my job, to recruit better people that love the game and want to compete to win and want to be great on and off the court and the classroom, and then propel themselves in life to be successful. So, and it's harder at Division II when you have only 8 or 9 scholarships compared to Division I, where you have 13 for men's basketball and 15 for women. So it's tough to not make mistakes in recruiting. And it's not like you're at the top of the food chain for Division II, like some schools are at the top of the chain of food chain for Division I, where everybody just flocking to your school. So you make mistakes, but you've got to make your mistakes to a minimal, but find the right kids that are self-motivated, that you can push, that want to be great, but you just coach them a little bit more, and they're like, I see it, I'm going to get better on my own and work on their own skills.
Scotty, I got some insider info. This come from Janae that you're an incredible golfer, and I'm not the least bit surprised.
No.
I've heard some stories. So maybe you'll give me a pointer or two if I see you on the course. But we know Michael Jordan likes to play some golf, and I'm watching him. You know, he's betting on God knows what. I mean, he's my spirit animal. What can I say, Scott? I am like vicariously living, you know, one one zillionth of the life of Michael Jordan, maybe because, you know, at one of the local courses here in the Tri-State area, I'm trying to stick it from 150. He's trying to do it against PGA guys, for goodness sakes. If you is there a round of golf you've ever shared with Mike, and maybe a bet that maybe you've won from Mike? Because I'm sure you could have taken a couple of his bucks with the way you play golf, man.
Yeah, but I've never had my, I've only played with him a few times, but I didn't have my own clubs a couple times too. So
that's a game changer, Scotty. You need the comfort zone, your own clubs.
Yeah,
of course.
Oh, exactly. So, but you know what? If he wanted to bet, he would never bet me big. So, because I would never bet him big. So. The stakes aren't as high as it is with other people with me if I was going to bet him. I would be smart about my money. But he's getting a little older now. Getting a little older. His game is not as good as it used to be.
Oh, I like that. So maybe if there's like a Bulls reunion weekend and there's a little golf festivities involved, that is when you could take down the GOAT, Scott Burrell.
Take down the GOAT. Take down the GOAT. When trust me, if we get a green light and we can go down and travel a little bit, I'm going down to Florida to take the GOAT's money this summer.
That's what I'm talking about. Scotty, final one, man, and I appreciate the time. How much hot water did you have to deal with as far as maybe doing some dishes, maybe putting out the garbage a couple more times, maybe doing some errands a little bit more around the house when you have that infamous scene of you on the plane, you know, and you got to have a happy wife, happy life. Did you run any hot water there at the time there, my friend?
Well, since I'm 10 years old or 9 years old in the Janae, and when I was playing the NBA, she was still in high school, I hope she doesn't think that I have to do anything extra to prove my love for her. But no, I didn't have to do anything like that. I think my parents I had to worry about more than her because they're the ones that raised me and they taught me to do the right things. But trust me, anything that was said about me, how much I partied wasn't even a quarter of what I did. So. I was a good young man that stayed out of trouble.
Hey, listen, you weren't going on planes with Carmen Electra out to Vegas, Scott. I mean, I wish I was going on those trips, to be honest with you. At least you didn't have that in your back pocket.
Exactly.
Scott, listen, awesome. This was an absolute blast, my friend. Continued success in the coaching world. All the best to Janae, you, the kids, and whatnot. And I'm looking forward to seeing where your career takes you, my friend. Thanks for the time, all right?
No, thanks for having me, JJ. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
There you have it. That's the great Scott Burrell, 97-98 Chicago Bulls, and one of the stars, what can I say, the Last Dance.